Lovely.
Thank you, David.
Okay, well, shalom, everyone. And welcome again to Saffron Planet. It's lovely to see you all again. And it's lovely to have a core group that are faithful. It helps to provide some continuity, I suppose. But these last few months, we've been looking at this whole idea, Lord, teach us to pray. And last week, Betty shared, had a word that she wanted to share. She shared it and we prayed into that. And I found that a great blessing. And this evening, again, there's another passage I would like us to look at, Psalm 78. But before we do that, let me just say a few things. I don't know how much you guys pay attention to what's happening at the movies. I don't usually, but it's caught my attention this last week or two that there's some new Barbie movie out now. I'm not expecting any of you to have seen it, but perhaps you have. But why am I concerned about a Barbie movie? Well, Barbie is primarily aimed at children. And the movie, as far as I can aware, and as what I've seen of the reviews, speak of the messages that this movie is giving out: ultra feminism, homosexuality, trans ideology. And I think it's getting less and less subtle and much more in your face. Now, I don't want to necessarily concentrate on that, but what it got me thinking was we can see the enemy is going after our children. And the question that comes to my mind is the church going after the children with the same commitment, the same determination? Now, I'm not here to judge anyone or any church, but that's the question that's in my mind. Are we willing to lay down our lives for the next generation? So tonight we're going to look at Psalm 78, which speaks into this whole idea of the Lord's generational vision. And I don't know how many generations there have been since Jesus left this earth and ascended into heaven, but something around perhaps 70. And we need to remember that if one of those generations stopped spreading the good news, we probably wouldn't have heard of it. So we need to be faithful in passing on the faith from one generation to another. So with all of that in mind, let's look at Psalm 78. We're just going to look at the first eight verses. I will read them, and then we will perhaps have just a moment for us just to think about some themes that are coming out. Have maybe a short period of discussion, maybe 10, 15 minutes, and then we will get into prayer, into the themes that are arising. So Psalm 78. And when a piece of scripture starts with, "Listen, O my people," my ears need to prick up. So here we go. Psalm 78 says this, and I'm reading from the NASB version. "Listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wondrous works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Psalm 78. I'm just going to read that one more time. Listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wondrous works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Father, as we come to look into your word, Lord, we acknowledge that your word is God-breathed, inspired by your spirit. This is the word of God. Father, we are looking to the author to teach us, to show us the truth contained within this word. And Father, we're looking to the breath of God to breathe life into this word, to make it a living word, a living word that will speak into our hearts. Oh, Father, help us, Lord. Help us to know what you're saying. And Lord, give us your grace that we may rise and do whatever you are calling us to do. Lord, thank you for the generations that have been since Adam and Eve. Countless generations, Father. And faithfully passing on your word. Lord, we are grateful to those who have gone before us. Lord, I pray that we would be equally faithful in passing on your truth to the next generation. Lord, it's for your sake that we pray. Inspire our prayers this evening. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lovely. Well, we've just read that scripture a couple of times there. So, does anybody want to say anything? Maybe something that's sticking out to them. Maybe a particular part of that passage that's resonating with them. Whatever it may be, there's an opportunity now, just to share for a short time before we begin to pray. Did I see a hand up there, or did I not? Oh, Lynn, go ahead.
Well, yes, I see things very differently indeed to you. I was absolutely thrilled when I saw that psalm this morning, because I thought you were on the same wavelength as me, and we're on totally different sides of the theology, because you see Satan attacking the children. I see God handing the children over. And when I read that passage, straight away it reminded me of the passage in Deuteronomy, where God clearly tells the parents to tell the children about him. Oh, screen keeps flashing and changing as someone just joined. But yes, God tells the parents, instructs the parents to teach the children. And in the Ten Commandments, he says that all may well go well with you, because by teaching the parents about God, they're God's voice to the children. And in Amos, it says, if you forget me, I will forget your children. And when we look back to things, what are we doing? How many parents actually pray together, apart from in the local prayer meeting? How many parents actually teach their children in the church, never mind out on the streets? And I see it, and I know I'm not alone. I mean, I've been quite a few prayer meetings been to lately. This has been come up, Amos. And again, it does go back to the theory of evolution, because from that, you're actually saying God isn't creator. And from that point in particular, I know there was the law of witchcraft in 1956, but it's mainly since the theory of evolution that it was the start of the downhill slope. So for that reason, I think many of us, and when I read that whole psalm, it is actually saying to me, it is completely saying, well, it's obviously speaking to Israel, not to us, but we can learn from what God's saying to Israel, that just as you've turned away from me, I'll turn away from your children. Anyway, yes, so I see not Satan attacking the children. I see God handing us over, and I see the need for a great deal of repentance on behalf of the church initially for the way we have neglected to teach our children. And then obviously we would pray that the world would come to its senses.
Thank you, Lynn. I've sparked a few more comments. So, Fiona, over to you.
Two things, Barry. I was listening to Martin Eilis, who's taken over the head of Answers in Genesis. He's an Australian. He's gone to the States to take over that section there. And I heard a presentation on YouTube yesterday, I think it was, and he was saying that, why are young people leaving the church? And he said 2/3 are leaving because the church itself is not holding to the whole of scripture. It's taking bits out and saying that doesn't apply, or we excuse this. And he talks about evolution and other things as well. And I do think that there has been such a decline in people believing the whole word of God and taking the whole counsel of God. And, you know, they're teaching their children to believe the Bible, but they're telling them you only use bits. You can't believe all of it. And it's undermining what's being taught. And the second thing was, when I read this psalm, the thing that stood out to me, in my version, the One New Man Bible, it says, where are we? Verse 7, so they would set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commands. But the hope was the thing. And one of the biggest things for children today is they haven't any hope. They're so caught up in fear and not really having anything to hope in. So, you know, it's so vital that we give our children hope, because we have a great God, we have a future, and he's more than able to save children if we're able and willing to go out and tell them that they have a hope and a future if they believe. So they're the two things that came to mind for me.
Thank you, Fiona. Malcolm.
At the last Foundations conference, I stood up at the front and said, pleaded guilty, because I thought at the time, completely wrongly, I now see, of course, especially reading this psalm, that taking my children to church, to the Sunday school, had done my duty. And of course, I realize now that I did not do my duty. I used to leave for work before my children were up, and I'd get home after they'd gone to bed. So there wasn't really much chance to pray with them or read the word with them. And, you know, I just plead guilty to that as well. And then I thought, while we were speaking here, my children went to Sunday school. What did they learn there? I never went myself, you know, to the children's Sunday school. And I can remember what we learned when I was young. And we learned about Jesus. We learned about sin. We learned about forgiveness. But I'm wondering, what do they teach the children now? Thank you.
Can I just quickly comment? Some churches have drag artists in, and they have these transvestite people, etc., performing for the children.
What have more to say? Rosalind.
Thank you. I totally respect your view, Lynn. And I fully endorse that we take the whole of Scripture, the whole of the Word. But so many children are being raised these days without families, without parents, particularly without parents that have biblical views and faith. So, bearing in mind that Christ has come now and he has compassion for children, and he says, suffer little children to come to me. Children don't know at their age about God. And unless they have parents that can teach them, or at least schools that can teach them, neighbours that can teach them, how are they going to learn? So while I agree wholeheartedly that we need to pray about this, and that, yes, one day, that, you know, justice will be done, and that the Lord does is a God of justice as well, but Christ came with compassion, and I believe that his permissible will be to allow things, but I don't hold to the extent where, you know, that God is. I don't remember the exact words that you said, but I'm guessing that everyone else does. But I believe that Christ wants all children, everyone, to have an opportunity to hear the word. And he, once we're of an age where we can, where we can make a decision for ourselves, that's different. But with children, they're not of an age; they're not in a position to do that. So, I wouldn't hold that view. I would say that it's the enemy, and God's permitting certain things because of the way that we are as a nation. So I just wanted to say that.
Rosalind. Betty.
Yes, Rosalind, I think I'm in line with your point of view. The heading of Psalm 78 in my Bible that's on my Kindle is God's guidance of his people in spite of their unfaithfulness. And yes, we've got things terribly wrong and there are awful things being taught. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I did used to toddle off to Sunday school on my own, but I cannot believe that God has abandoned our children. I know and I accept that the verse that you quoted, Lynn, but our Lord doesn't abandon us. And some of us have grown up in the most awful homes, and I don't want to go into detail, but I count myself as part of that, a great danger and neglect and cruelty in all sorts of ways. And yet the Lord, nobody is beyond the reach. And I think perhaps we shouldn't quite spend so much time bewailing what other people are doing, but just looking at what we can do and working with God in whatever situation he puts us in, when we come into contact with children, to just sow a seed. And I've had people through my life, and it hasn't really been through the church's teaching, it's been through the love of people who've gone to church that I was snatched out of the fire. And some of the things that I see, I mean, the social media and that sort of thing, things that I've been horrified by, where families which seem lovely families and they love their children, I think, and yet they have pictures of their children on Facebook gyrating to popular music in a very sexual manner. And I think it just comes down to each one of us doing what we can within the environment that the Lord has put us, and trust that the Lord will lead us or lead his people wherever we are. I wasn't a Christian as my son was growing up, but I did buy him books and I did read him stories about Jesus. And yes, he doesn't know the Lord. My husband, who is not walking with the Lord, grew up in a Christian family, and he was taken to church and he hated it. And teacher in the school, he went to the Episcopal school, and some of the teachers there were horrible. So that's given him a completely different way. So I think probably I'm babbling on a little bit, I know, but really basically what I'm saying is, let's not despair. Let's do what we can do in the situations that the Lord puts us in, and our loving God surely will look after our children.
Thanks, Billy. Linda.
It's more a personal testimony and a thanks, really, that you put this today. The honest truth is that I've been nearly crying about my niece and her children, because I do not know how to speak when I can't see them properly. And I really, they're talking about new moons and not being able to sleep in the new moon. And I'm sure the only thing I could think was about blow the shofar at the new moon. And I realized that was the voice of God. I don't know how I'm going to do it, whether it's going to be over FaceTime, but it's the grief, and it's not giving up, like Betty said, because these children need the Lord. But how do you tell them? How do you? And it is only God who's going to actually give us the words and the way, but it says we will hear his voice. And that's my encouragement, because they're desperate. That's it. Sorry for crying.
Well, do not apologize, Linda. It's lovely to see your heart. It's lovely to see your heart. I've prayed for some time that the Lord would turn our hearts as a church to the children. So when I see people's hearts breaking for the children, it moves me. So thank you. Please don't apologize, Linda. Thank you.
Also knew I could come on this forum because there are people who know they have done wrong and they've repented, which means God's forgiven them. It doesn't mean we have to keep going over it. It means God's heard that. But also there are people crying, you know, really wanting to do it and to hear God. And that for me blesses me more than anything, because none of us can do it. But there we go. So thank you for being who you are on this platform.
Elizabeth.
Yes, I've been having some time of reflection the last few months and realised the damage, really, but I'm not having a father who encouraged me or taught me. And I have a brother and sister with children, teenage children, and I see that they're not giving any instruction to their children, and so my nieces and nephew are, well, I pray for them, but I can just see things and it grieves me. And I just cry out for God, for wisdom, for how to speak to them and love them and have opportunities. But the other thing I wanted to say was I have a friend in Golders Green in London, a Jewish friend who I sometimes stay with, and every Saturday I see the fathers with the boys, with their sons, going to the synagogue, learning scripture. And it's such a wonderful picture to see the father and the son. I think they've been carrying it down the generations, you know, because they're Orthodox Jews, obviously. But it's such a wonderful picture of how God intended it to be. And okay, they might not believe in the Messiah, but they're genuinely wanting to bring up their children in the fear of the Lord. And that's just, you know, that picture stayed with me. Yeah.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Lynn.
Just to say, I haven't for one moment suggested to anybody that God has abandoned us. And I'm sorry if you misunderstood. God is gracious. God is merciful. God is warning us. So he's not just saying, I've thrown your children away. He's warning us, wake up and listen. That was in last week's reading. Awake, awake, listen to what I'm saying. And it isn't too late to turn back, but we do have to wake up and hear what God is saying. And it's not just me from this. I mean, we've been to several prayer meetings lately, and that theme has come across that God is warning, wake up while it's still day, while there is still time, and turn around and come to your senses. And I mean, literally, yes, God is so gracious and merciful. He warns us. And I don't think we can always blame Satan. He's not omnipresent, omnipotent. A lot of the times things people blame Satan for, it's nothing but their own flesh and their own lusts of the flesh, as it says in John 3:16, 1:2:16, the lust of the flesh, the lust for the eyes and the pride of life. And Satan gets all the glory for that, when it's our own flesh that's the fault and the sin within us. So yes, God is gracious, he's merciful, and he's warning of us. And that's where his grace and his mercy comes in, that he warns that we will turn back and we will cry out to him. That's what it's all about.
Thank you, Lynn. Okay, thank you everyone for those comments. Thank you for clearing that up, Lynn, as well. I guess with the scripture you read, was it from Amos? Remind us what it said, Lynn, again, please.
I can't. That's only one of quite a few scriptures. And to be honest, off the top of my head, I can't actually remember it.
It's Hosea 4:6.
Oh, right. Yes. I keep saying Amos because okay. I've been looking at Amos recently.
Which begins with an extremely important comment, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Hosea
4:6. Yeah.
Okay, yes, I see that. Lovely. Okay, well, there's a few scriptures there that we can pray into. I think there is repentance required for some, or if not all of us. As we turn back to the Lord, the scripture from Malachi about turning our hearts being turned to the children. It comes after the spirit of Elijah raised up to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. And we've talked about that before, so I won't go back into all the elements of that, but I believe it's wrapped up, I think, in everything that's been said, is that because of our own ways, following our own ways, our hearts have not been turned to the children. As our hearts haven't been turned to God first, therefore they're not turned to the children. Therefore the Lord's forgetting our children. These things are all wrapped up together. It's not separate things. And so, Father, we are coming before you, Father, and we ask you, Lord, forgive us, Lord, when we have followed our own ways. Forgive us, Lord, when we have been selfish. Forgive us, Lord, when we have sought our own convenience, our own glory, our own desires, our own goals. Lord, at the cost of our own children. But Father, we turn away from that, Father. Father, we turn to you. And we plead, Lord Jesus, that in your mercy, Lord, in your mercy, you would touch and reach out and reveal yourself to the children. Oh, Father, Father, turn our hearts. Turn our hearts. In Jesus' name.
Father, forgive us when children, to some people, make them afraid because they don't understand children, or they weren't understood as a child, whatever it is. But Lord, there's a fear, I think, of actually believing that we can engage with children. And maybe we can't unless you tell us how. But please, please make us willing to listen to you and to be taught.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together corporately. Oh Lord, and we pray for our children in this nation and around the world. Lord, for all the evil, Lord, that's going on. And Lord, so many children don't even have parents, loving parents to raise them. And in school, Lord, the agenda is being reinforced every which way. Lord, I just pray that for each of us in our localities, in our daily going about our daily business, Lord, that wherever we come into contact with young people and children, Lord, that you would work through us. Lord, I pray that you would prepare us so that, Lord, we'd be sensitive to your prompting, nothing of us. And, oh, Lord, I just pray for all the children that we come into contact with. For all those that we don't, Lord, I pray that believers that you would direct, Lord, people of faith into their paths. And I pray that you'd prepare the hearts of each of those children, Lord, for every encounter. Oh, Lord, we plead with you because, as has already been said, Lord, we don't deserve, as a nation, we don't deserve that. In this world, we don't deserve it. None of us do, Lord. Whether the parents are believers or not, Lord, we've all fallen far too short. But, Lord, we just pray, Lord, for the same thing, Lord, that you would have mercy upon the young generation of today, the future generations. And Lord, we pray for our part in that. For your glory, hallowed be your name.
Father, when we stand before you, we will have to give an account of ourselves for what we have done and what we have neglected to do. And we, your church, we, your body, say we have neglected to do what we should have done. Father, we should have been telling our children about you. Father, it's not just a question of saying, oh, Jesus and all this lot. It's not this that you meant, Lord God. It's teaching them about you, teaching them right from wrong, listening when they came home from school and explaining why what they learned at school was wrong. But Father, we know that within your way, when you spoke to your Jewish people, it was at home. It was there that the fathers taught the children and the mothers taught the children. And Father, we can look back to the days. Father, I look back in my Bible there's a reading program by Murray McShane, where he suggests that the families sit around the table at mealtimes, and there's scriptures there for the family to discuss, and the scriptures there for the individual devotions. Father, in our busy world today, Father, we don't do that. One has a meal now and one has a meal then, because they children rush off here to this club or that club. Father, we have neglected, we your church have neglected to put you first in our lives. Father, we have seen things eroded. We have seen the sports taken over from Saturday, coming to Sunday. And we've seen the choice. Do we take our children to church or the rugby match, the football match or whatever on a Sunday? Father, we see how we have changed. These things have crept in. You tell us that the enemy comes in like a flood, drip, drip, drip. And Father, and when we stop, when you pull us up short and we see what has happened in our own lives, we have so far, we don't realize how far we've slipped in putting you first in everything, in all the little ways where we could have stood up and been counted and we haven't. Father, forgive us, your church, your body, for the way we have slipped in so many little ways in not putting you first in our lives, in all that we do. Father, we know you're not saying, sit there and don't be nothing and be miserable on a Saturday or a Sunday. But Lord, you see what's in our heart and what we do. Father, forgive us where we are not honouring that first commandment as we should do. You tell us that you are the Lord our God. You said that actually to Israel, but Father, we want you. You should be the Lord, the God of the church, and you're not. So much of church today is entertainment. Oh, did we enjoy the sermon? It doesn't matter whether we enjoyed the sermon or the worship or anything. It's what you thought of the sermon. It's what you thought of the worship. Father, we're sorry that we have made so much about me, so much about I and us, and it should all be about you. Have mercy upon us, Lord, and turn us back to you with our whole hearts. Amen.
Amen. Lord, I pray that you would redeem the time for all of us who have children, adult children, Lord, that you create opportunities for us while we still are here, and that, Lord, you put people in their path once you call us home, Lord.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, for myself, I've gone so far wrong in my life. I took my children to church, as I mentioned earlier, Father, that I thought that was my duty done. The children went to Sunday school. But Father, I repent of that again. But Father, I ask you, please, for your wisdom on how to speak to my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. That Father, one of them didn't even mention the subject because he will shout me down. He will not listen. Father, how do I get through to that one? And Father, my other two sons both gave their lives to the Lord 40, 50 years ago. And yet, Father, they're not interested anymore. Don't even want to talk about it. Not that they're rude and shout down, but then, Father, there's my grandchildren. I very, very rarely even see them. And my great-grandchildren, Father, I very rarely see them. And Father, please, for myself and others in similar situations, I ask you, please, to fill us with your wisdom on to handle these situations. That, Father, we may bring our offspring up to know Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Please, Father, give us that guidance in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Lord, so difficult to just pray about this, Lord. You've given instructions for the benefit of the family. And where do we see this example, Lord, so rarely? Oh, Lord. It's just too awful for words, really. I mean, what can we say? And yet you're the same God of love, and you're merciful. And Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. Lord, help us to pray. We've all played a part in this. We just want to give all our feelings and grief and everything to you, Lord. And just ask that you'd help us to work our way through it with you. Teach us to pray, Lord, about it. And thank you, Lord, if we don't know how to pray, we can intercede with groans.
Yes, Father, we feel so helpless in the face of all this, of the awful things that we see, and lots of things we don't see because we choose not to look, Lord. Lord, show us what we each individually should be doing. It's that dilemma of wanting to play our part, Lord, and yet knowing that you are the one that can change people's hearts, and you are the one that can change them, yet you want to work in partnership with us, Lord. So, Father, lead each one of us into situations where we can speak a word, make a gesture, speak out if necessary in love, but Lord, you do tell us that you will give us words to say. I know it's in relation to persecution, but this is a form of persecution, Lord, because we can see what's happening. And personally, I just feel so helpless. And it can just end into doing nothing at all because I haven't heard from you what you want me to do. And maybe in that situation, you don't want me to do anything, but Lord, show us, please, what we can do within our environment. Place opportunities in our way, if that's your will, Lord. And it must be your will that these young people should be safe. Oh, Father, you are the same now as you always have been, and I just pray that you will speak into their little minds in dreams and visions that they may know you. And that you will lead them into the company of those that know you so that your love can shine out to them, Lord. Help us. Help us in our feelings of being helpless, Lord. But you say when you are weak, you are strong because you will give us the strength. So, Lord, just help us, show us how we should be. for your glory, Lord. Amen.
Just something for your weighing and testing. I've just as been listening and praying. I've had the sense that the Lord is saying, it's not what you say.
Who you are.
It's who you are.
Yeah.
Since you've forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Which means if we don't forget the law of God, then our children will not be forgotten. So as we seek to know his laws and by his grace to obey, we will be who he desires us to be. And that will have the impact that we so desperately desire. Oh, Father, help us. Oh, Father, search us. Find in us, Lord, every wicked way, every rebellious way, everything in our hearts, Lord. Expose it that we may repent, we be cleansed, that we may be forgiven. Oh, Lord, make us more like Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, thank you that it isn't actually every individual person's sole responsibility, that there is this thing about a village brings up a child. And Lord, you have got a body, even if we don't know many of them and they're not where we are, you have got a body of people who know you and love you. And Lord, you can bring people towards those that need to see or hear. You can bring them to the attention of ourselves or our children or whoever, Lord. Thank you. I just want to thank you, because if I thought about where I was before you saved me and what I know now about my background, it would have been impossible in my eyes to be saved. But you didn't, it wasn't impossible for you.
No.
It was not impossible for you, and it's still not impossible for you to reach every heart, Lord, the way you've reached us. And we thank you that it is your job, really. We just have to listen and follow and say yes to what you ask us to do, and that's it. That's all of our job. The rest of it is your job, actually, because salvation belongs to you. So thank you for that. Thank you that we can yoke ourselves with you and carry a bit of your heart if you ask us to. But Lord, the doing of it, we aren't totally responsible. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we plead for the children that are in desperate circumstances, Lord. We pray for your protection over their lives. And Lord, for the unborn children, Lord, many of the mothers who are little more than children themselves, oh Lord, just bring them all to you and just plead, Lord, for your mercy on each and every one.
Jeez. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for that little girl that I heard yesterday when we were out say to her parents, can we go to the church service next week? Father, that really gladdened my heart. I don't know where she is, but she has a real desire to find you. And Father, we ask that there would be many children in this land who would have the same heart, that are seeking for something, that they are looking for hope and a future.
Yeah.
And that, Father, you are it.
Yeah.
Father, we just cry to you, as we already have, for mercy for the children of this land.
Yeah.
We confess our sin in not teaching the children. And Father, there is a particular responsibility on fathers for doing this according to your word. And we are well aware that there has been opposition spiritually to families actually advocating and trying to destroy family life in this land. And Father, we do thank you for Christian families who are together, who are still together, and we ask that you would build them together in your love, that they might know, both the parents and the children, how important it is to study your word together, that they might grow in their knowledge and understanding of you, mm-hmm. as many have in the past, and that they would find a living relationship with yourself. That is what you desire, Father. We thank you that you are able to do this and so much more. Mm-hmm. Your heart goes out to families. You seek unity in the body. And we ask for these generations that are growing up that appear not to know you, that there would be some way that you would break through, that you would overturn this. Mm-hmm. And that, Father, we would have the boldness, we would have the knowledge of your scriptures to be able to speak out at the right time, in the right way, with the right heart. And as has already been said, that our lives would reflect your word, that we are not seen as hypocrites, but we are seen as people who genuinely believe your word and trust in you, the living God. For you are our hope and you are our future. You are the hope and future of the children. We ask, Father, that you would enable them to have that hope and a future, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus. Yes, Lord, we pray that when children desire to come to church, they would hear your word, Lord, in that church. We pray for churches who are committed to you. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would bring those children to people who dwell in that secret place, in the intimate place with you. Lord, I do pray, Lord, that, Lord, that those in the kingdom of heaven, Lord, those who are instructed in the kingdom of heaven, Lord, will bring out those treasures old and new, that the children can see the treasures, old and new, can feed on them. Father, amen.
Jesus.
Father, we thank you for the special authority that you have given to fathers, because it is your commission to them, and you have given them the authority they need to be able to speak to their children. So, Father, may they realize this authority, may they realize that it is God given, and that, Father, they might exercise it to your praise and glory with your wisdom by the leading of your Spirit in love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, we pray also for the children who are attending churches where the truth is not being preached as it should be. Lord, we pray for protection over their souls, and that, Lord, that you'd keep them and protect them and put the right people in their path, Lord, so that seeds that are sown would grow and flourish. Be your glory.
Father, hearing today about Church of England schools not teaching the Bible to their pupils, but worldly things. Father, we're asking that you would reintroduce your word into these schools, or in one sense, close them down, because there are many parents who are sending their children to these so-called Christian schools because they will have a better ethos. They would have a clearer direction. And in some ways, parents are abrogating their responsibility for teaching their children, but in your instruction. But Father, for these schools that appear to be teaching your word and uprightness and a good way to live, Father, will you show them up for what they are? Will you bring your truth into those situations? And will you, Father, bring about a boldness whereby they will refute the ways of the world and institute your instruction rather than man's? For Father, the children need to hear, and they need to hear it not just once, but many times. So Father, we ask that you will deal with the schools, whether they be Church of England or others, whereby there would be some truth going in, that you'd open up the way for churches to go in, congregations to go in and teach children. Thank you, Father, for some of the churches in this area that have done that. But the opportunities are shrinking because of the pressures of political correctness and of not being able to say things or do things. So, Father, we ask that you would enable your truth to be heard in schools, whether it be through individuals, whether it be through other pupils, because you are using other children to reach children. So, Father, we ask that they often do not have such inhibitions as adults do. And we ask, Father, that the children would be used by you to teach their peers and show them the way of hope and life in you. Amen.
Amen. Amen, Father. And thank you for, well, I know in our local area, for all the Bibles that go into schools, for all the work that goes on with Diversity Bibles, which I think is a nationwide venture. And in our local area, we know that the youngsters get two Bibles, one at the start of their infants and one at the start of their junior. You know that, Lord, but for the benefit of those listening in this prayer group. And Father, thank you that they get that Good News Bible. Father, but may that Good News Bible not just be left at school. May it be taken home and may it be read. Father, thank you for those schools where they've actually used, they've got Christian teachers, and they actually use those Bibles as part of their reading programme. Thank you for those head teachers that allow it in. Thank you for all the Zooms. Father, because of COVID, they couldn't actually go in and do the Bible classes and the teaching classes, but they're for all the Zoom groups and all the Zoom groups that are set up. Father, we do pray for all the children that have left infant school this year, left junior school this year with a Bible in their hands. May they not just take it home and bung it on the shelf and forget it. May that Bible be taken home, may it be opened and read. Father, thank you for the parents that have come through reading those Bibles to their children. Lord, we're just asking that you will put your good hand upon it. It's not good enough just to get them to have a Bible and take a Bible home. They need to read it. They need to delight in it, and they need someone to help them. So, Father, we do pray and ask that these children will not just take this Bible home and forget it. And, Father, we do ask that you will put your hand upon those schools who don't want the Bibles to go in, who don't want our local people going in, the local church people going in and taking the Bibles in. Father, we do pray and ask that those schools will open up and that you would do a work within those head teachers to allow those Bibles to go in. Thank you for all the children. Thank you for the children that delight to, when they hear these Bible stories, that they delight in the Zoom teachings, they delight in the whole interactive thing. Thank you for all of those schools that allow the Bibles in. Lord, would you wake up other people, other schools, other areas where they are not doing it, and really push, cause believers. Father, we are a body. We're not individuals, but as a body, to really care for our children enough to get them the word and enough to give up our free time to go into schools and to teach children, to go in and hear the children read. And to just see, so they can see that we've got something that they haven't. Lord, please open the way for adults to go into schools more. Amen.
I'd like to read from Matthew 13. The kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Lord, we pray for truth. Lord, we pray for truth in our schools. And Lord, we pray that this great edifice of equality and equity and inclusion that prevents truth going forward, Lord, we pray that truth would be broken, Lord. And we pray that those that stand for your truth would be able to get this message across to young people, Lord, so that they can look to you, cry out to you, pray to you, so that we will see good fish and not regret at the end. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Lord, I thank you for the resources that there already are, you know, Bibles and information. But Lord, I just pray for many, many more resources, Lord, to go out for children, designed for children and teenagers, Lord, so that they would help them to understand what's going on. Help them, Lord, to sift through the confusion of the world. Lord, I just pray for your gospel to go out through literature, through people, just many people more going on the streets, Lord, and engaging with children. Lord, I really pray for more and more resources as Lord, you just inspire your people, Lord. Inspire us at this time to run with you, Lord, whatever your spirit is leading each individual, Lord. Lord, so that, you know, you say that the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few, Lord, but Lord, I just really pray for more resources and for humble hearts, Lord, and that would seek you at this time and just be willing to do whatever you call them to do. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we pray for the children that don't have resources, Lord, because you find a way, Lord, into every heart. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would bring about situations that children's hearts and minds would be receptive to opportune times, Lord, when you speak to them through different things, Lord, not only through even though those things are good, Lord, but just that you can find a way where there is no way. Lord, we pray for every young child that would come to know you.
Lord, we pray for the children who are reading the Bible to find other people that they can discuss it with. We pray for children who are sensitive to see the children who are lonely or shy or whatever they are, and to go towards them, to be friendly towards them. Lord, help them. Help the children who do know you to be brave and courageous in reaching out just in friendship to other children, Lord. That it isn't always the adults, but it might be just another child who stands by and sees how other children are.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. Amen.
You've brought back to mind somebody saying to me many years ago, take that little girl that used to be you and stand her in the corner of your bedroom and love her back to life. And Lord, I just bring all those children who are suffering at this moment before you, that you will love them into life. Love them into life with you, Lord. Speak to them in their time. There are so many children that we don't see and we don't know, the ones that stand on the edge of the playground that are not, do not join in, those that have got dark secrets at home that they've been dared not to say anything outside the house, Lord. All those children, I just bring them to you now, Lord. Love them back to life so that they know your presence. You are the one that's going to bring those children to you, into your kingdom. Father, keep us faithful to remembering them, bringing them before you. And give us insight just as we go about our normal daily business. Give us insight to spot a child that needs a prayer at that moment, Lord. Just bring all those little children who are suffering at the moment before you, Lord, for your love. Forgive us, Father, that we haven't done enough in our own families, in the lives of others that we've come across. But Father, have mercy on us. Have mercy on our children, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good Lord.
Romans 8:15. But you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Lord, I just pray for each one of us, Lord, that we may know your fatherhood, that we may really know we are your child, and we may enter into that wonderful relationship that you sent your son for us, and that we may know, come to know, Lord, that we are heirs, co-heirs, Lord, and be willing to make whatever sacrifice, Lord, because of that privilege. In Jesus' name.
If we consider what's happened to our university students and our secondary school students, and even now our youngest children attending school, the Pied Piper taking away even those that belong to the church family, if it were possible. And so we put our prayers, Lord, into your kingdom coming for each child.
Yes.
Each of those, Lord, your will not be overcome by the wiles of the enemy. Lord, we look for a church that's founded upon the rock, Lord, and we look to you, Lord, who is able to do all that we, more than we all are, than we ask or think. And so we are encouraged, Lord, and we pray, Lord, that you will bring your children back. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, as Joanna was praying, I was thinking about the word that says the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. So thank you, Lord, for whatever these children will bring back to our nation as well.
Mm.
Because it's part of your plan, your kingdom plan. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Out of the lips of children, you ordain strength and praise. But we just pray so much for those young ones going into the system at this time. So appalling and so appalled. Oh God, we pray for a quick release, Lord, whatever is in your plan. We pray for quick action to save these young minds and these young hearts, these precious children created by you and for you. God help them, we pray. Save your people, Lord. Save your children, we pray.
As we draw to a close, we have got a couple of prayer requests, not directly related perhaps to what we've been discussing tonight, but I just want to share them with you so that you can pray after the meeting. Firstly, Linda, not the Linda that's here this evening, but Linda, I forget her surname. I'm sorry if anyone can...
Linda Hayes.
Linda Hayes, that's... Thank you, David. Linda Hayes has asked for prayers this evening. She has, from what I can tell, she has a tear in her retina, which is causing her to have a very sharp deterioration in her eyesight, as you could imagine. She has a operation planned tomorrow in Bangor, I think that's in Wales, and yes, probably going under general anaesthetic. So she's asked for prayer for her. The second request was one from Rosalind. Which Rosalind, do you want to repeat your request from earlier, just for those who weren't there?
Yeah, so it's a lady that I don't know very well, but that I'm getting to know a little. So she's similar age. She's going for tests tomorrow on her eyes, and they've warned her that it could be very serious. She's not a believer. She says that she has faith, but her views are quite strange, really. She doesn't believe in heaven and hell, but she says she believes there's a God. So it's really, so I before I left today, when I got off the bus, I asked her if she wanted me to pray and that I would only pray if she wanted me to. And she said that she did. And the reason I brought it to your attention is because she also said, and anyone else that you know that would pray for me. So I'm just passing on her request, really.
Thank you, Rosalind. Okay, folks, thank you for this evening. Thank you for your comments. Thank you for your prayers. Keep praying. Keep praying. This is a big topic with many different facets. So keep praying. I think there's more that we could have addressed this evening, and I think one of the things that didn't perhaps come through was our own relationship with our parents, whom I am aware that many of them may have already passed, but still, if there are outstanding issues there, that can often hinder us from being the parents, the spiritual parents, even, that we need to be. So perhaps something else for you to think about and pray into. So, yes, Lord willing, we'll be back again, same time, same place next week. And we will trust the Lord for wherever he wants us to begin.